Reformed Church.
You know, if you can kind of put yourself, and it's not that hard to put yourself in the position of the people of Israel, right? So they're wandering in a hot wilderness, right? I mean, it's scorching hot in a wilderness, right? And they're thirsty and they're hungry, right? And you know how people get, right? Doesn't mean that that's how we have to get, but people get when you're hungry and you're thirsty and you're hot, right? Tempers flare, people are on edge, right? You're not thinking straight, you're not acting right, you're not perceiving things correctly, right? But it's an interesting thing that no matter how in so many different ways that the Lord testified about Christ, as the people of Israel were in the wilderness and the Lord was with them in a pillar of cloud by day, right? Or in a pillar of fire by night. No matter, even though his presence was there in many different visible ways and in signs and in wonders, right? They didn't perceive things correctly. They didn't perceive that that was Christ. They didn't perceive that that was Jesus. When the Lord answered their prayer and their request for water, right? Water, you know, I was kind of thinking about that water, right? I don't know that there's many people, maybe there are some on this planet, but I don't know that there are many people in these United States that understand, or even for that matter, even Europe and in many places around the world, that could understand what it means to need water, right? Because we talk about the Lord meeting our needs, the Lord giving you desires that are from him, and even having the power to meet those desires, right? But the last thing that a person in this country thinks about is depending on the Lord for water, right? Like, that's not something you think about. That would be a pretty desperate situation that people would find themselves in, they would think, right? If you needed to depend on the Lord for water to drink. Right? Like that would be, I mean, we think it's bad now. Oh, you think it's bad now because of gas prices and this and that. But imagine if you needed to depend on God for water. You're thirsty and you need God to give you water, right? You look at the people of Israel complaining against Moses. They had just been saved out of Egyptian bondage, right? And they're in a wilderness with no water to drink. No food to eat. They can't find nothing to eat, and there's no water to drink. And you look at that, and you're like, yeah, the unbelief of the people of Israel. But the thing is, we don't really understand, you know, that the issue, the problem that they were having is that the one they were not recognizing, nor the one that they were acknowledging, was Jesus. That was the problem of the time. It is the problem of this same time that you're living in today, right? The problem is the lack of understanding of Jesus, right? People, God does things all the time to help people see his son, right? But as it was in that time, where they were under the cloud and they were led by fire and they ate the bread, right? The manna that the Lord sent from heaven. They ate the bread of heaven. They drank from the rock, right? Water coming out of a rock. Moses takes a staff, right, goes up onto Mount Sinai, right, which at the time, you know, I think in scripture it's called Mount Oreb, right, but in one of the instances where water came out of the rock, because I think there were two specifically that I remember, in this one instance, he strikes a rock and water comes out from that rock, right? But the thing that they were not seeing in the rock, right, the thing they were not seeing in the water, the thing they were not seeing in the bread from heaven, the thing that they were not seeing in the cloud, the thing they were not seeing in the fire, the thing that they were not seeing about anything that God was repeatedly showing them, right? You notice how repetitive God is, right? Repetitive God is, even if you notice the way the Lord does things, you've been coming here for any amount of time, do you see how repetitious things are? And the way God says the same thing in this way and in that way and in this way and in that way, do you see how over and over God is? Do you see how time and time again and lesson after lesson after lesson after lesson, God teaching the exact same thing over and over again, right, for us to be able to see. What was it that they were missing, right? What was it that the people were missing when Joshua came to them and told them, you cannot serve the Lord, right? You're not looking at it right. You're not thinking correctly. You think that when I tell you serve the Lord, you think that what I'm saying to you is that you need to, that it needs to come from your labor and from your work, that that's what God is looking for. What is it that they were missing? Why the people of Israel had a hard time seeing that what God was asking them was not for their own labor? They were missing the finished work of Jesus, right? Because if you see someone that finished everything, you would understand your rest, right? If you see that everything's done, you would understand that there's nothing for you to do. What is it that the church today in the United States and across this world is missing when they are thinking about a theology and a doctrine that says that God is requiring something of me? What are they missing? They're missing the same thing that people of Israel were missing in the rock and in the water and in the pillar of fire and in the pillar of cloud. They were missing the same thing when they saw the manna from heaven. It's the same thing that they were missing with being fed with meat. It was the same thing that they were missing with all of their ordinances. It's the same thing that they were missing with the slaughter of animals as animal sacrifices. It was the same thing. What is it that, you know, when you see the sacrifices to Belial or the sacrifice to idols, to us that seems foreign, right? Like we don't worship like statues here. Nobody, at least most people don't, right? Most people don't carve something out of wood, set it up in their house and then bow to it, right? Most people, there are people that literally do that, but most people don't. Christians would never say that they worship idols, that they bow before things. But what is the very thing that drives people to worship something other than God? What is the thing that makes people look to things as solutions, or look to people, or look to organizations, or look to governments to be the answer to their lack of water? What is it that brings people to look at people and situations and organizations and companies, right? And all other things on this earth, right? And causes people to depend on those things for their life. What is it that drives people to that? Is the lack of seeing what Jesus has already done. It was the same thing that the people of Israel were missing. It's the same gospel that we get preached to today, repeatedly, time and time again, every service. The gospel that's preached to you is the same gospel with the same manner of repetition, if not more, that they received. Yet the only difference between us and them is if we see it, right? And they didn't. The only difference is you're seeing something that they didn't see, right? When we have children's ministry upstairs, what's the purpose of children's ministry? That the children would see Jesus. What's the purpose of teen ministry? That the teens would see Jesus. What is the purpose of adult ministry? That adults would see Jesus, right? What is the purpose of the nursery, right? That little children would be able to see Jesus. What is the purpose of the church, right? To preach a gospel so that the world can who? See Jesus. What was the purpose of Moses? What was the purpose of Moses in the wilderness? That they would see Jesus. What was the purpose of the judges over Israel? That they would see Jesus. What was the purpose of the prophets? The prophet Samuel, one of the greater prophets, right? What was the purpose of Samuel? What was the purpose of Ezekiel? That the people would see Jesus, right? What is the purpose of the church today across the world? That people would see Jesus. What is it that we go wrong, right? When things like don't seem to work, right? Like when raising the dead doesn't seem to work, what is it that's going wrong? Raising the dead's not working, right? I don't know about you. I don't know the last time you saw somebody raised from the dead, right? I've never seen someone raised from the dead. Never. So is it that God's not working anymore? Like we got to replace his batteries? What is it that's not working, right? What is it that's not working when people don't get healed? Is it that the word of God, is it that what he says doesn't work anymore? Is that what it is? Like it worked when seas don't get split anymore, right? Well, it worked for Moses. Maybe it was we got to get the same staff he has, right? Like if you get the same staff that Moses had, then it works. The only thing we're missing is that we're not seeing the finished work of Jesus Christ. When we see that clearly, listen, we have not yet, I'm speaking for myself and I'm speaking for you also, right? We have not yet heard the gospel enough. You have not. We have not. I have not yet heard and been taught the gospel enough so that I can know it to the extent that I should, right? You have not. I think sometimes, you know, the children upstairs, they get their lessons go like what, every 2 months or every 3 months? Every 2 months, right? That's not enough. You could hear the same lesson The same exact lesson, preach with different little slants and different little things for 2 months, that's still not enough for you, right? It's still not enough for you. If it were enough, you would be dressed in a heavenly body if it was enough. If it was enough, you would be dressed in a heavenly body flying around the room if it was enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. Until you see Jesus, right? Until you see Jesus fully and completely, it is not yet enough. Don't even kid yourself for a single solitary second that you think it's enough. It is not enough. You do not know enough. Believe me. And there's a lot of things we do know, and we're not even close to knowing enough yet. There's a lot of things we do know, and we're not even yet close to even knowing enough. Not even close, right? Because I'll give you the punchline. There is no other gospel. There is only one. There is no other gospel. There's not like, we're, you know, from here to 5 years, we're going to have a different spin on Jesus, right? There's only one gospel. There's only one cross. And we don't know it enough, right? There's only one gospel. There's only one cross. And there's only one finished work. And even though you notice that when I say that, when I say finished work, right? Sounds really familiar, right? Almost like you know it, but you don't, right? You know some of it, but you don't know it, right? You do know some of it, but you do not know it, right? Like it's not time, like if you look at where we're at today as a church and where you look at where we're at today in the knowledge of Christ, then you can almost say, you know what? I can kind of just coast now, right? I can just kind of, you know, let this go. Like, it's enough. Like, in other words, like, you could take it, like, you can take your ease from not having to hear anymore. Like, you can take your ease from not having to continue to seek the Lord, right? You notice how it is, and this is the truth, right? That when things are going wrong, people seem to seek the Lord a lot. When things are upside down in your life, seemingly, right? And a situation is not good, how people tend to want to chase after the Lord. Right, and the minute things get better, right, and that begins to slow down a bit, and the people that you saw that were like nonstop in church services and listening to messages and reading stuff, now when things get a little bit more normal in their life, right, they back off of that, right? But why is that? Because they saw more than ever. See, when things go wrong in your life, you see your need for God more than ever before. You see a poverty that has always been there, right? You see a poverty that had always been there, but now when things start going wrong, then you begin to seek after the Lord, right? Or worse, that things would begin to not go right, seemingly, outwardly, and that you would just give up in seeking Him, right? That you would just say, you know what, I'm just going to let happen whatever's going to happen. You know why? Because nothing works anyway, right? The gospel that I keep hearing is not working, right? Because if it were working, I would be healed. If it were working, I wouldn't be sick no more. If it was working, I wouldn't be poor. If it was working, I surely would have something to drink, right? If it was working, I surely would have food. So that you complain not realizing that the one you're complaining against is God, that the one you're complaining against is Jesus, that the one that we test is Christ, right? That the one that we're saying is not working is Him, the one who died and gave Himself so that we might live. Let me show you something. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 1, he says, moreover, and this is New King James, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. All our fathers were under the cloud. All of them passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. All of them ate the same spiritual food. All of them drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ, right? I'm not the one that said that the rock that they were drinking from in the wilderness prior to Jesus ever even being born on this earth, that rock that they were drinking from was Christ. In other words, that's God saying they could have known that. They could have known it. They could have seen it, right? That, in other words, he's not saying this was something that was private to Joshua or private to Caleb, right? He's not saying it was private to them. He's saying they all, Joshua and all the other men, Caleb and all the other men, right? All the women, all of them, every single one of them drank the same spiritual drink and they ate the same spiritual food, all of them, every single one of them. But it says in verse number 5, with most of them, God was not well pleased. God was not well pleased. Why? Why? Because they complained? Why? Because they weren't appreciative? Right? Why was God not pleased with them? Why would God give someone to drink? Why would God feed someone? Right? Why would God first test them to see where their heart was? Right? Test them first to see. They hungered in the wilderness and God tested them. He wanted them to see. He wanted to see what was in their heart, right? Whether or not they would believe him. Whether or not they would believe him. So he gave them to drink and he gave them to eat, right? Gave them to eat and gave them to drink. But what was it? What was it that made the Lord to not be pleased with them? Was it that they weren't appreciative enough? Was it that they complained about one of God's elect, right? Like, was it that they said bad words? Was it that they, you know, they were fornicators? Like, what was it, right? What was it that God says? He looked at them and he says, all of them heard and all of them saw. All of them saw what I did. All of them heard what I did. And he said, but with most of them, I was not well pleased. Why? Because it is just one thing, right? That in this instance, the Lord is referring to that is a displeasure to him, right? Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God, right? It is without faith. What displeased God about the whole scenario, about him testing them, right? And about them failing that test. What was it that made them fail the test that God was testing them with? That God saw what was in their heart and it was utter unbelief. Utter unbelief, right? Utter unbelief. So when things prove to be too much in our lives, what we're not seeing is we're not seeing Christ properly, right? When we're not thinking right about a certain situation, the reason why we're not thinking right is because we're not perceiving Christ properly, right? That it is a problem of faith in Jesus Christ. That is the issue. It is a problem of faith in Jesus Christ. And granted, people, all people, us and everyone in this world can need a helping hand initially, right? Can need a helping hand initially, but then, right, they are required. People are required to hear. There is something that the Lord requires of people, and that is that they will hear, right? And the very problem that people have, right, is that many do not hear. That is the problem, right? It's the hearing and hearing, right? It is faith in Jesus that comes from hearing and hearing. And whenever we face a problem in our lives, it is because what is missing, count on it and take it to the bank, it is we're not hearing. We're not hearing, right? Whenever the Lord reminds people, if you're prospering, right? If you're prospering, be careful that you don't forget. In other words, keep hearing. When you are prospering financially or otherwise in your life, or better said, when things you think are going good, or if you're in a situation where you are taken care of completely by someone else, right? Right? In other words, if when you're a child or you're a teenager and you're completely being taken care of by somebody else, right? You can get really comfortable in that situation, right? Why? Because everything's taken care of, right? So you may think everything's okay to where, you know what? Well, you know, that hearing stuff, that faith stuff, that's for my parents because I surely don't need to hear, right? Because why? Because all of my stuff is taken care of and you get used to everybody handing you stuff. And when people hand you stuff all the time, right? That you think, he says, don't forget that I'm the one that's prospering you. And you can say, well, it's Lord, you're not really prospering me because you're prospering my parents. No, don't forget. Because if you're getting anything from anyone, right? If your parents are Christians and they're being blessed of God financially, you're enjoying that prosperity. But don't you forget, in other words, know that that's of God, right? No one should ever forget that it's being supplied by the Lord, that it is God that gives you the power to get wealth, right? The thing that we forget, see, we want to feel, there is no need for us to have this overwhelming desire to want to feel confident in our circumstance, right? We just have to feel our confidence in our security and our sustainability in Jesus, right? It's not that you have to wait for your circumstance to feel comfortable, for your circumstance to feel okay, right? I'm talking to you today, right? Like, we're waiting for the circumstances in our lives to feel right. But you don't have to wait for your circumstance to feel right. You're the one that has to feel right in Christ. You're the one that has to see yourself already in the perfect circumstance in Jesus. You're already there, right? If Christ is in you, you're already full. If Christ is in you, you already have all power towards all things, right? We cannot wait for the circumstance to feel right. You can't wait for everything in your home to be, quote unquote, as it should be, right? But to be able to see yourself as you are in Christ, right? To be able to see yourself as you are in Christ. It says with in verse number 5, but with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. In other words, they suffered from what? Death, which comes from what? Carnal mindedness. Death, all death. Every single person that dies and has ever died, every single person who has suffered corruption, terrible corruption in their lives, whether it be from sickness or from disease or from poverty or from anything or from just being on the planet and then you just deteriorate, right? Any suffering of any corruption and any death just comes only from carnal mindedness, right? Which is a result of sin in the world, right? That's all that it comes from, right? And since we know that it comes from sin, and we know that Jesus dealt with sin, then we know that it's not necessary for any Christian to be subject to corruption and death, right? Because our present circumstance teaches us what? That we have escaped the corruption that is in the world through sin that is in it, right? We have escaped that corruption through Jesus Christ, right? That's not something that we are already known and solid on and don't need to hear anymore, because if we were, we wouldn't be suffering from any death in the world, period, anymore, right? So we have not learned it entirely, right? You don't know it. We're learning it and we're growing in the knowledge of it, but we don't know it. So we do need to hear it more, right? We do need to hear it more. When you hear someone say, thank you, Jesus, you have not heard that enough, right? You have not heard that enough. Because if we had heard it enough, when one person said Jesus, it would be like a domino effect in here, and everybody would start getting up, and there would be a noise and a chatter, people just thanking Jesus, right? Because that when you know what thank you Jesus means, you would automatically want to join in the thanksgiving. But we get tired of hearing someone say thank you Jesus because we have not learned yet what it means entirely. We know some of it, but we don't know all of it, right? We know some of it, but we don't know all of it. What are we to do? Continue, right? Continue. When you come into a temptation, right? Jesus provides you a way of escape every time. He is the door to escape any temptation or trial in this world. He is that door, right? He is that door. For as many times as Christians give in to any temptation, no matter what it is, whether it's to whine or to complain or to cry or to suffer or to give in to any lust of the body, all of that is a lack of understanding of what Jesus has done. All of that is that. We have not learned it and don't know it all yet, right? We don't know it yet. And so it's just a matter of continuing in it. He says that we would be able to endure. We should, as Christians, we have the power on the inside of us to endure any temptation, no matter where it comes from, whether it's from directly from the devil or whether it's not, right? Whether it's from anything physical or unseen in this world, we should be able to easily endure anything that anybody would say, throw at us, anything, right? Why? Because we are already there in that state. We have already received all power. We have already received all wisdom to be able to contradict anything that the devil of this world or any spiritual being of this earth would ever try to throw at us, right? We already have that. But the only reason that we don't is because, right, we need to continue. We do not yet know all of it. We do not yet know all, right? So this is the time that we're living right now. It's not a time like the start, like coasting, where you're like slowing down a little bit, almost to where you're at a halt, right? Let's push now to know the Lord more than ever before, right? Let's continue to pray, Lord, that you would continue to reveal yourself to me, that I would be able to know you more than I did yesterday, that I would be able to know you more these 5 minutes now than I did 5 minutes ago. To be able to know you more, to see you more, to behold your glory. That when you say to behold your glory as in a mirror, I know what that means. I'm beholding the glory of God. I can see your glory, Lord, therefore I'm seeing who I am, right? I'm seeing your glory on a regular, consistent basis, seeing who Jesus is, right? Seeing who he is, seeing what we have in him. He says in verse number six, now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play, right? Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day, 23,000 fell. Why did they fall? Because they weren't seeing Jesus. No one dies on this earth that is seeing Jesus fully. No one dies on this planet and has ever died on this planet that is seeing Jesus fully. So therefore, whether we don't know Jesus at all or whether we know him some, all of us should continue in that truth, right? All of us should continue in one single gospel, right? One single, and it's important to understand what the gospel is, right? Faith in Jesus Christ. The gospel is the good news about what Jesus has done. And that is the only thing, because nothing else saves. Nothing else saves. No other doctrine, no other supposed knowledge that anyone would want to teach you is going to work at all. And the only reason why sometimes we look at where we are today as a church and we say, you know what? It's like Jesus isn't working anymore. He doesn't work. He's broken. The only reason why Jesus seems broken, right, is because we've changed the gospel. We've changed it. We got some watered down trash that is supposedly labeled as the gospel, and that surely does not work. Right? So it's not that we're just suffering from lack of knowledge, right? It's that it's worse when you're going somewhere perpetually, right? You're going somewhere on a regular basis, hoping, thinking that somebody's teaching you the gospel that is what leads to fruitfulness, and yet it's actually not the gospel at all. That's horrible, right? You might as well just be walking backwards, right? Because it's not even that, right? Because if we're not seeking the Lord for ourselves, and we're just looking for our parents to teach us the gospel, if your parents are teaching you the wrong gospel, then guess what? You're in big trouble. Because you ain't seeking God for yourself, and you're looking, and your mommy and your daddy are teaching you the wrong thing. So what are you to do? Even if your mommy and daddy are teaching you the wrong stuff, if you sought God for yourself, he would teach you. And that mommy and daddy comment is for adults or for teens or for children, right? Because some people look at their pastor as their daddy or their mommy, right? But listen, your livelihood and your life is not dependent on that mister or that missus, right? It is dependent on you seeking the Lord for yourself. That's your responsibility, not theirs, right? The fact that you don't prophesy at home is not because that's left up to some pastor to do it, right? If it's not working in your life and you don't have it, it's not because you can't, right? But we've thought in the church, well, prophesying, you know, and speaking in tongues, like that's for other people. Or speaking a word of knowledge, like that's for the elite. That's for the fivefold ministry. And we talk all this garbage, right? But it's not. Things are not reserved for Joshua's and Caleb's, right? They're not reserved just for them. They all were under the cloud. They all went through the Red Sea. Every single person, including Joshua and Caleb, walked through on dry ground and saw the sea parted on either side of them. And they understood it, and the majority of them did not. That's not God's fault. He's preaching the same gospel to everybody, right? But so was it God's fault? Is it God that doesn't work? Is it Jesus? Is he broken? Or is it that we're not hearing the right gospel? When something just doesn't taste quite right, sometimes you just have to just add a little bit more, right? When we were in the airport, I told Miss Kim, I said, you know what, I have to go get a cup of coffee, right? And normally I don't drink Starbucks coffee because it's very strong, right? But I went anyway, right? Dunkin' Donuts wasn't even on our thing. They said, there's a Dunkin' Donuts, but you're going to have to go outside of the security and then you have to going to come back through security. Well, I can't drink the coffee as I'm going through security, so I'm going to have to drink it out there. So I said, all right, I guess I'm getting Starbucks, right? So I get Starbucks, but here's the problem. It's strong coffee. And I even asked for something that was a little bit of a more medium blend. And like, oh yeah, we got this, and it was still strong. So I added my normal 5 little drops of this sweetener that we have. And you know what? It wasn't good enough. You know what it needed? It just needed a little bit more. It just needed a little bit more. And sometimes what's happening is, right, that we're just not hearing the right thing, right? We're not continuing in that which is right. Just continuing in the same gospel. Continuing. We're not seeing that it is the same gospel that we're hearing today. The actual gospel about the good news about what Jesus has done It is that gospel that we need to just continue in. It's nothing else. It's just a little bit more of the same. It's just a little more of the same. And when you got a little bit more, it continues to be what? A little bit more of the same. Listen, your answer is not in the number of jobs that you work. Your answer is not even, listen, sometimes there is discontentment that you feel in your life, right? And you think that the discontentment is, oh, you need a change of scenery, you got to move to another state, it's the politician's fault, it's the Democrats, it's the Republican, it's this darn president, it's the other president, it's this mayor, it's this governor we have, it's that I'm not at the right job, I just don't feel fulfilled. Listen, if you knew Jesus, you would be full. If you knew Jesus fully, you would be full. The majority of the time, the feeling you feel is not from the Spirit of God. I'm not saying that the Spirit of God doesn't bring feelings and desires on the inside of you, but the majority of the time, the thing that you find problematic on the inside of your brain is not, right, that you need a change. It's not that. The majority of the discontentment you feel inside is, listen, there is a difference between discontentment driving you to a change or a contentment in Jesus, knowing that you have to do something and the Lord empowers you to that change. That's a different thing altogether, right? Most of the time, the things that we are discontent about are just normal carnal stuff. And the more you knew Jesus, the more content you would be with the abundance of what you possess, right? There would be no discontentment. There would be no discontentment. God doesn't have to make you feel sick of something to move you to something else. He doesn't have to make you feel that way, right? The Lord, you could feel fully content, totally good. Everything's hunky-dory, right? And the Lord says, you know what? It's time to go, okay? All right? And it doesn't mean you have to just jump at that first thought that comes to your mind, right? But it's different when the Lord is leading. Listen, there would be, the Lord could have taken the people of Israel from the wilderness into the promised land, from contentment to contentment, right? They didn't have to suffer need in the wilderness. They could have been well supplied, abundantly supplied all of the days in the wilderness, right? And brought them right into the land of Canaan from fullness to fullness. It didn't have to, listen, the land of Canaan was not there as a destination to say, I finally arrived, now I can have everything. The same, listen, Joshua and Caleb were living with a mentality of knowing that even though I walk into somebody else's land, we can take it today. That's living with an assurance to know it doesn't matter where we are today or how weak we may look. I know who I am in Christ, and I know we're well able to take this, for God is the one that puts it in our hands, right? That's a knowing who you are. He didn't have to give them some kind of dissatisfaction in their current situation to want to take somebody's land. That's not why they went over there. Right? It wasn't because God was making them feel so sick and tired of where they were that God gives you this sick and tired feeling so that you know your season is over so that you can move into your next place. That's not how he works, right? You can go from fullness and contentment to fullness and contentment and just stay that way, right? Stay in that fullness and stay in that contentment all the days of your life. All the days of your life. It says, in verse number 8, it says, nor let us, I know we're going back a little bit, verse number 8, nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Why is it that they suffered? Some of them were bit by serpents and many of them died. Not all of them, but many died, right? What is it that they did? You know what they did? They were they said, this bread from heaven that you're feeding us with, we are disgusted with this worthless bread. That's what they said. So is it that God got offended because they didn't like his wonder bread? Is that what it is? God cooked up a batch of bread, gave it to them, and he's offended because they don't like his cooking, right? That's not what he was offended at, right? The thing that bothered the Lord is that the one that they called worthless was his son. The one that they were depreciating was Jesus. The one that they weren't seeing that was their salvation, that took them out of Egypt and would bring them through prosperity, right? If that's even a word, with prosperity through the wilderness and into the promised land was Jesus. He was the one they were not seeing. He was the one they were calling worthless, right? And even on top of them doing that, right? Many of them died, which is always the end result of carnal mindedness, is always death, right? But the ones that did not die right? Why did they not die? And it's because they saw the serpent on the pole and they lived, right? They saw Jesus Christ and him crucified and they lived. What is the difference between one Christian, right, that receives from God on a regular basis and another Christian that believes that Jesus is broken, right? This one sees him, the other one's not. Even to blindness, we become short-sighted where we can't see. So that's why it seems to us that Jesus is broken, but he's not broken. It's the same gospel. The same gospel that works today is the same gospel that worked for Moses, is the same gospel that worked in Jeremiah's life. It's the same gospel that worked for Ezekiel and Samuel and David and every other time that the power of God has been seen. It's still the exact same gospel. The exact same gospel, and it has never changed, and it will never change, ever. It will never change. Verse number 11 says, and now all these things happen to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands, let him who thinks that he stands fine without Jesus, right? Let him who thinks that he's sufficient without the Lord, let him who thinks and right is just comfortable in his present situation, that somebody is either providing everything for you, or that your job is providing everything for you, or that your spouse is providing everything for you, or that the economy is providing everything for you. Let everyone who thinks that he stands, right, take heed lest he fall, he says, right? Let him take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. In other words, nothing that comes against you is any different from anything that anybody else suffer. In other words, what people are suffering with today is the same thing that the people of Israel suffered with. Same thing, different year. That's it. Same thing, different century, no different. Same stuff. The same stuff that your children's children, right? Some will suffer with is the same thing that you're suffering with today. It's the same thing that your ancestors have suffered with. It's the same stuff. The only thing that's missing is the same gospel. There's no difference in what's missing in the equation. It's always going to be the same gospel. It says, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. You know, it's a cool thing that as you grow in your knowledge of Christ, to hear something like that, like God's not even going to allow it, right? He just doesn't allow it, right? It's not something that's up to debate, right? Is that Jesus works. Is that the gospel is real. Is that raising from the dead, casting out devil's power is actually on the inside of you. And that it is actually real, and that it actually can manifest, and that it can actually work those things through you, not through somebody else, through you. Not through some other preacher, but through you, through me, through all of us. This is something you possess, right? It is real and it works, right? It's real and it works. It's real and it works. Thank you, Jesus. Romans chapter 9 and verse number 6, and we're gonna start wrapping up here. Romans 9 and verse number 6. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are Israel. In other words, it's not that the word of God doesn't work. The word of God is talking about the word of God about Jesus Christ, right? It's not that Jesus is broken. It's not that the gospel doesn't work. It's not because we don't see it, that it died with the apostles. It does work, right? And God does work, and God is powerful. And you do have the resurrection life power of God on the inside of you. It's just that they're not all Israel who are Israel, that they are not all Christians who say that they are. It's that they're not all sons who say that they're sons. It is that there are not all that say they know actually do not know. Right? It is not every person that says that they know God that actually know God. They may know God some, right? But to get comfortable in a situation where you think you know, right? And you think that what the little that you know about God is enough to carry you through, it's not enough. We don't know him enough, right? We don't know enough about what Jesus has done. We should continue forward to further understanding, right? There is more. There is more for you to know than you know today. There is more for you to know than you know today, right? There is more for you to know. When you listen to someone and you expect to hear nothing, you will hear nothing. When you are hearing something and you expect that nobody's going to tell you nothing new, you will hear nothing new. You'll get no revelation. You'll get no understanding because you expect nothing, right? You're listening and it's like blah, blah, blah. You're so used to coming, so used to hearing the gospel, the finished work of Jesus. Yes, I know. Yes, I know. You get nothing from it. You stay in the same boat you were before because you're comfortable in what you know. And you think in what you know is sufficient. It is not enough. You do not know. There is much more to Jesus to learn. There is much more about Jesus to hear, right? Much more about what he's done. Can you imagine this? A full, complete understanding about what Jesus has done. That when you say, for me to live is Christ, right? That for you to say, you know, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. Everybody in here knows Galatians 2:20 to a small extent, you know that. To a small extent, but you don't. I could quote that verse 500 million trillion more times, and we still would not know it fully, right? There is more to learn about Galatians 2:20. There is more to learn. Pastor Mike could be on part 157 of Yet Not I, and we still wouldn't know it all. You still would not know it all. You don't. We need to listen and hear. Faith comes from no other place other than from hearing. And if you sit and don't hear, you will learn absolutely nothing, right? If you sit and you hear and you don't mix something with it, remember the Starbucks thing, right? The Starbucks thing, and I mixed the five drops of that sweetener, but I needed to mix a little bit more. The only way that was consumable for me, right, was to mix something with it. If your hearing does not mix faith with it, it ain't going nowhere for you, right? If you don't mix the knowledge of Christ that you have, right, pair the knowledge of Christ that you currently have to a desire to want to know him more with your hearing, it might as well be Charlie Brown. It ain't going to do nothing for you. If you don't mix your current knowledge that you have about Jesus, faith in Jesus that you have, with a desire to want to know Jesus more in your present hearing today, right? It'll profit you nothing, but it's not that the gospel does not work, and it's not that Jesus is broken. He's not broken. He works. Verse number 7 says, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac, it says, your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted as the seed. So in other words, there are people today that say that they are the children of God. But not everybody, it was real then, it's real today. It's the same thing, just a different century, right? People today say that they are children of God who are not at all. They're deceived. They're actually not children of God. But they say that they are children of God, therefore deserving of something from him. But what is it again that they're missing? They're missing Christ. They're being shown him, but they're missing him. They read about him all the time. They read about him. There are people who read about Jesus every single day almost, right? But miss him completely. Completely miss him. There are Christians that read Bibles every single day and miss him completely. But when you read something that is testifying about Jesus, all you can get out of it is a moral lesson about how you should not curse, right? You're missing it completely. Like you're missing it totally. Because if that's all you're seeing, believe me, there are plenty of things that I read that I miss completely. And the only one that I'm missing is him. The only one that I'm missing to see is Christ and him crucified. The only thing that I'm missing is to see what Christ has done. That's the only thing I'm missing. It's the same thing everybody else is missing, right? It's the same thing. It's the same thing. It says, verse number 9, for this is the word of promise. At this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls, it was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. See, Esau, it's not that Esau was born on the wrong side of the tracks. It wasn't that he was the wrong color. It wasn't that he had the wrong kind of occupation, right? It wasn't that Jacob did everything right. And it wasn't that Jacob was the one that was more pleasing to his mother. It wasn't because the father loved Esau and the mother, right, Rebecca, loved Jacob. That wasn't it. It's that one was seeing Jesus and the other one wasn't. That was the issue. And it's the same issue today. It's just a different century. Same issue, different century. It's not that God loves one and hates the other one just because, right? It's that one is unloved by God because they refuse to accept the love of God, right? When we feel unloved by God, it's because we're refusing to accept the love of God. It's not actually that God is not willing to love you. It's that he has already loved you and you don't accept that love, right? It's not that God needs to be blamed for the death in the world. It's that God has already corrected the death that is in the world, and people are doing what? It's just a different century, the same problem. They just see him and they miss him. Like you're blind. Like somebody passes right in front of you and you feel the wind, but you don't know where they went. You don't see nothing. You don't know what you saw. You don't see what you felt. It's unexplainable to you. God is a mystery. He's not a mystery. He's actually revealing himself daily to people, daily to us, daily to people, revealing himself that we might know him, showing you things, bringing things before your eyes, right? Saying things that God will say stuff and we interpret it however we interpret it, right? However we interpret it. But you say, well, Pastor Jose, how are you supposed to interpret what God says when it seems that God is talking plainly, right? When God says anything to you, right? You don't lean on your own understanding to understand what God is saying, right? It is God's job to explain and to reveal himself to you. It's not your job, right? All that you do is that you listen with the faith that you have in Jesus and the desire to want to know him more, right? And God will do the opening of your eyes. God will do the revealing. All that we do is just the hearing. But when we don't mix the right amount of sweetener, that coffee tastes really bitter. It could actually taste pretty good. It could actually be the best cup of coffee you ever had. But when you don't mix the right thing in it, it don't taste real good. It doesn't go down really nice, right? So you read something and you take it as God is condemning you because of the sin that you committed 5 minutes ago. Yet it's not even talking about your sin. It's actually talking about what Jesus did for you. And yet all you can read, you know, when you read all that they fell in the wilderness and they were bit by serpents, that's what's happening to me, Jesus. I'm being bit by serpents because I'm such a sinful man, right? The stuff that I'm going through right now is of my own doing. And I just have to look at the cross and whatever. But we're missing what? We're missing the good news about Jesus, right?
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this unpopular message to the world. If you'd like to support Reformed Church, you can do so at reforminus.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reforminus.com.